Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. Today we're talking about limo accidents. Somehow bad limo drivers and the things they do with their limos end up in the news from time to time, and I'm always surprised. You know, you hire a limo and somebody shows up at your place with a stretch vehicle and a professional limo driver. You'd expect that they would be, you know, up to some sort of standards to make sure they did this driving of the limo correctly, and turns out not all the time. So the reason we're talking about this today is in New York, the upstate car service operator whose stretch limo killed 20 people in the deadliest U.S. crash in a decade has now been hit with a 40-count homicide and manslaughter indictment. Prestige limo operator Nauman Hussain was not behind the wheel, but he still faces 20 counts each of criminally negligent homicide and manslaughter in the second degree, one for each victim in connection to the horrific October 6th crash in upstate New York. A grand jury handed up the new indictment on Friday at the county courthouse. Hussain had previously faced just a single count of criminally negligent homicide. And, you know, you might be asking yourself, well, why are they charging him? You know, he wasn't the one driving the vehicle. Well, it turns out that his 2001 Ford Excursion stretch limo had not been inspected recently. And in fact, they say he had avoided rigorous State Department of Transportation inspections for years before the crash. And that's according to state records obtained by the Albany Times Union. In October, that stretch limo went through a stop sign at a T intersection in the rural upstate town last fall, and it crashed into a country store, killing the driver, 17 passengers, and two other people. 20 people killed in one vehicle accident. District Attorney Susan Mallory said, "We have worked extremely hard for the last 6 months." And that's as she's speaking to reporters after Friday's grand jury action. A team of three grief counselors were calling the families of the victims Friday afternoon to inform them of the indictment. "My confidence in my client's innocence has never been stronger," Hussain's lawyer said to the Post when asked for a comment. He said, "Our own investigation in the past 6 months has shown a number of things that we can use to our advantage, so that my client walks out of court a free man." He didn't clarify what those findings were. And that, of course, raises the second question. If you're thinking like an attorney and someone asks you for your opinion on this case, and you've just been told your client's facing 20 counts each, or a total of 40 counts, and the words homicide and manslaughter are involved in there, I would have thought you'd just say, you know something, the indictments are new, we're still investigating this, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But to suggest that there are a number of things that we can use to our advantage sounds like bad lawyer talk. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. But if there winds up being a trial, I'm sure it will be all over the news as well. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the big limo story from Michigan. And I've mentioned before that, you know, I'm from the Detroit area, and I've also worn a Red Wings shirt on this podcast before. And now that I think about it, I realize I should have worn one today, but I didn't. But there was a horrific crash in 1997 involving a limousine, a bad driver, and some Detroit Red Wings hockey players and members of the hockey team itself. Not players, but like, you know, like people who worked for the team. And so that was in June of 1997. And here's the thing. That story was all over the news for quite some time. And in fact, I remember driving down Woodward Avenue about a week or so after it happened one evening. And I'd forgotten that we were going to be going through the area where the crash had occurred. And it was right around dusk. And there were crowds of people all along one side of Woodward Avenue. And I'm like, something's going on over here. Like, what is it? And I realize they're all facing the road, and across the street was the tree that this limo had hit and had become a makeshift memorial, you know, for the crash. So what I'm talking about here is a driver of a stretch limo involved in a crash in June of 1997. He spent 9 months in jail, but he caused some life-altering injuries to Detroit Red Wings champions, who had just won the Stanley Cup in June of 1997. And it was just 2 weeks after the Red Wings ended their decades-long championship drought a limo carrying two of the team's stars crashed into a tree. Vladimir Konstantinov, I have a hard time with Russian names, but then again, my Finnish background might be causing that. But if you want to have some fun and if you like hockey, go to YouTube and type in Konstantinov, like highlights. He was a defenseman that scared other players. He was good. I mean, it's just, and it's just, you ask yourself, how does a guy get good at, like, you know, knocking people over and checking them in the open ice and stuff? Yeah, this guy had elevated it to an art form. And it's just, you know, he was good. Vladimir Konstantinov and Slava Tisov were the two team members injured in the crash. Konstantinov suffered serious injuries to the point where he's on a ventilator just to keep him breathing. Fetisov was also injured but was in less serious condition. He suffered chest injuries as well as a bruised lung. On the night of the limo crash, June 13th, 1997, the players, along with a Red Wing masseur, were in the limo when it veered off Woodward Avenue and crashed into a tree. Now, it's a little misnomer there. It didn't veer off the road. It actually veered into the center, but there's actually a median there with the grass and trees growing on it. And it veered into the center and ran into a tree. Konstantinov was 30 years old at the time of the crash, and he would never play hockey again. He suffered serious head injuries, and he was basically bound to a wheelchair from that point forward. The team masseur, Sergei Manatsikhanov, was paralyzed from the waist down from the crash. And Fetisov, who had less serious injuries, would return to the Red Wings, helping to lead them to another Stanley Cup win in 1998. The driver, Richard Gnida, fell asleep at the wheel. He was hospitalized and later charged after blood tests showed evidence of marijuana in his blood. He was eventually only charged with driving with a suspended license and spent 9 months in jail. And you hear about that. On all those facts, it seemed very, very strange that the guy who was involved in the crash had marijuana in his system. He fell asleep at the wheel. But underlying all of that is, wait, he had a suspended license. Like, he wasn't even legally allowed to drive. Like, that's the crazy part about this. And if you own a limo company and you're hiring, is it really so hard to find limo drivers who've got driver's licenses? You know, this guy's driving a limo on a suspended license. Like, how? I remember when I heard this whole story unfolding, every single turn it seemed to get weirder and weirder. And, you know, but the lack of the license was the thing that always really struck me. It's like, wow. It seems to me that if I had a fleet of vehicles and I was hiring people to drive them for me and I was paying them and I was paying for the insurance on all of these vehicles, which probably requires that they be driven by licensed drivers, for my own benefit, I would check to make sure these people have licenses. It doesn't seem like that's that complicated of a brain teaser. During the civil lawsuit that was filed later, Konstantinov's trial lawyer argued that the dealership that had sold the limo was negligent because the seat belts were inaccessible. But the jury ruled against that and found that the dealership was not liable. The question, of course, is, does anybody really wear a seatbelt in a limo in the back? And so, you know, whether the seatbelts were accessible or not probably wasn't an issue. Konstantinov did receive a share of a $2 million judgment from the limo owner's insurance carrier, which under Michigan no-fault law is also paying for his medical, rehab, and residential care expenses. And those will probably continue for a long time, and he'll get them paid for a long time. After the Red Wings won the 1998 Stanley Cup, the team celebrated with Konstantinov, who was on the ice celebrating the team, but he was sitting in a wheelchair. And so it was a very, very bittersweet, occasion when they won the Stanley Cup after. And, you know, there was some speculation for a while that Konstantinov might die. And so the fact that he was alive was obviously a big, big step. But the fact that he's out there in a wheelchair and everyone's looking at him going, it's such a sad story. And you wonder about the fact that there is an unlicensed driver driving the limo that's carting these guys around. So that was the Red Wings limo accident. It happened in 1997. I know it's a long time ago. But people in Detroit, when you say literally, if you say the word limo, that's the first thing they think of is the limo accident with the Red Wings. But again, the limo operator in New York formally indicted for 20 counts each criminally negligent homicide, and manslaughter in the second degree. And that one, I suspect, will be in the news more. I will update you as updates progress. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.